Good morning, it is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. Sitka residents will not vote on a cruise ship dock this fall. The Assembly killed a measure last night that would have asked voters whether the city should go after funding for a deepwater dock near downtown. Right now, ships anchor in Sitka Sound and transport passengers to shore on smaller boats. There was concern that too little is known about whether a dock would boost visitor traffic. Others said the ballot language was too vague. And some looked to a dock built by Halibut Point Marine. The private dock is known as the McGraw Dock after the company's owners. It's equipped for larger vessels, but sits about 5 miles away from the center of town.
We don't know what's going to happen. If the cruise ships in a year or two do not choose to use the McGraw Docks, this is a very, very viable option of doing something downtown, but we haven't given it a fair shake.
That was Assemblymember Mike Reif. He said Halibut Point Marine is trying hard to attract ships and should be encouraged to continue that effort. The Sitka Chamber of Commerce was amongst those pushing for the Assembly to hold off on the dock question. In a resolution, the Chamber said it supports more cruise traffic to Sitka, but that there was no guarantee a dock would bring more ships. The organization was also worried about the potential message sent by voter rejection. It asked the Assembly to do more research and wait until 2013 to put the dock question on the ballot. Sitka voters rejected a downtown dock in 1998, and there was some hope among proponents of this year's measures that attitudes had changed. Whether they have will remain a mystery, but Assemblymember Bill Payden said he noticed this time around the tone of the conversation was certainly different.
I was on the Assembly the last time this issue came up. A lot of people didn't have really good reasons why they didn't want the dock there, but they didn't want the dock there. This time, I've got some calls from people that actually were talking about alternative solutions, other ways to market our town, and there's some really thoughtful reasons as to why they don't want to, they would rather not see a dock at this time.
The Assembly's rejection of the measure was unanimous. Mayor Cheryl Westover and Assemblymember Pete Esquire were absent. Esquire's plane was fogged out, and Westover is at the Alaska Municipal League Conference in Bethel. The cruise dock question died last night, but an increase in harbor rates is still very much alive. The Sitka Assembly advanced the rate hikes last night. They hope the boost in funds will pay for badly needed harbor repairs and replacements. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
How much your harbor bill goes up depends on how you use the harbor. If you have permanent moorage, it's a 40% jump. But if you have a large boat, say longer than 150 feet, and you get billed for daily transient moorage, it's a 150% increase. The measure advanced Tuesday night would take effect in October. It is a significant increase, but the first one in years. And it's just one increase. At its previous meeting, the Assembly was considering a 5-year plan to increase harbor rates, but Assemblymember Mike Reif proposed dealing with just 1 year. Future rates can be reviewed in January by the Ports and Harbor Commission. Last night, Reif said that should happen sooner.
I would suggest that we as a body try to facilitate for that to happen this fall when the commercial fishermen are here coming in and so forth and not wait till January. They really want to weigh in on this. That will allow us then and the Ports and Harbor to see what is year 2 through 5 really going to look like.
A variety of fishermen, including members of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association and some salmon trollers, wrote to the Assembly and asked them to hold off on a decision until after they returned from fishing. The next year's rate increases could be finalized at the end of this month, but Assembly members seemed to agree that fishermen should have a say on future years this fall. If approved, the additional money will pay for repairs that city officials say are coming due. Last night, for example, the Assembly approved $70,000 for work on the transient float. Engineers told the Assembly in late July that parts of the massive structure are in danger of breaking loose. The city has more than 40,000 linear feet of moorage spread over more than 1,300 stalls. That's in addition to work floats, tidal grids, a seaplane base, parking, and buildings on shore. A master plan estimates it will take $38 million in the next 5 years to keep up with those replacement needs. Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett, herself a harbor user, said she favored the year-by-year approach to rate hikes because it keeps Sitka on pace with other communities.
We looked at the rates around the region, and they mentioned that other harbors in the region are also in disrepair and will at some point be undergoing this type of process that we are and have to also raise their rates to be able to do repair and whatnot.
Sitka's new rates make the city's five harbors cheaper than Juneau or Petersburg, but the rates put Sitka above harbors in Ketchikan, Haines, and Wrangell. Nobody from the public testified on harbor rates last night. The measure to increase rates for next year is scheduled to appear at the Assembly's next meeting, which is August 28th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Eric McDowell, a longtime Juneau resident and the founder of the research firm McDowell Group, has died at the age of 69. McDowell died Monday in a Seattle hospital of complications from a staph infection. He established McDowell Group 40 years ago in 1972. He was known for pioneering research on a number of topics, including Alaska cost of living studies, the seafood industry, and the Alaska Visitors Statistic Program. Jim Calvin is the managing partner at McDowell Group.
Eric developed landmark visitor industry research and developed techniques for that research that are still used today, and really some of the most complex research that's conducted in the country to gauge visitor industry activity in destinations such as Alaska.
McDowell conducted the first geographical differential study of the state in 1985, which has since been replicated. Calvin says McDowell
probably had the broadest understanding of socioeconomic and cultural conditions in Alaska than anyone else, really, and was just a wealth of knowledge and experience. Alaska is a very different place from the rest of the country, and it takes very different research and analysis techniques to really understand what all of the economic and other factors that are at work can drive the cost of living in our varied communities across the state.
Alaska Commerce, Community, and Economic Development Commissioner Susan Bell was hired by Eric McDowell in 2001. She worked on both the visitor industry and cost of living studies.
As I've come to work for the state of Alaska, I see that they are still landmark projects.
Calvin says McDowell was most passionate about McDowell Group studies done for Alaska Native organizations. And while the company is well known for its survey research on a wide variety of topics, Eric McDowell always refused to conduct political party and candidate surveys. On a personal level, McDowell was passionate about basketball and still played nationally in senior games. He was a singer, songwriter, and guitarist who performed regularly at the Alaska Folk Festival. He also was a commercial salmon troller. Bell calls him the quintessential fisherman.
It's something that he did throughout his life. It's something his family participated in. He was very proud of Alaska seafood. He worked with organizations like ASME on the marketing programs. He worked with a lot of corporations throughout the state on their marketing and their product development and ice processing machines in other ways. But I think that was something that was a thread throughout his whole life that was meaningful, and he was first and foremost a fisherman.
Eric McDowell was born in Juneau and raised in Haines. He had a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and a master's of business administration and marketing research from the University of Oregon. He also was a certified and practicing alcohol recovery counselor. Services are pending. Alaska Marine Highway Systems travelers can now track all ferries online. An interactive map showing nine of the ship's whereabouts and expected arrival times has been available for about a year. The Marine Highway on Tuesday added fast ferries Chinika and Fairweather. Spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the ships couldn't be part of the system until new connections were created.
We were able to partner with the Marine Exchange of Alaska, who tracks all of our vessels, and we were able to get the information from them, and then took a little bit of troubleshooting to make sure that it worked well with our current system. And once everything was going well, we turned it live.
The online map shows every port city and each vessel's location from Bellingham, Washington, to Unalaska. It's part of the Marine Highways System's website, ferryalaska.com. To find the map, click on the Plan a Trip drop-down menu and then the System Map link. Woodrow says the interactive map is useful to ferry staff as well as travelers.
If they're curious whether the ferry is on time or if they might have heard that maybe the ferry got out a little bit late, they can go on to the System Map, click on the ferry that they're wondering about, and they can see the updated information for when its estimated time of arrival will be to its next port.
Clicking on a ship also shows location and speed. Clicking on a port's name provides terminal location and phone number, as well as a link to community information. Six recalled Wrangell Hospital board members are asking a judge to dismiss a lawsuit filed against them by the borough's government. They're also asking the court to require Wrangell to pay all expenses and legal fees. Attorneys for the members listed those terms in an August 10th response to the municipality's lawsuit, which was filed in July. The suit stems from the six board members' decision to terminate the Wrangell Medical Center's CEO. It alleges those members improperly gave Noel Celeray a $1 million-plus severance package. About half of that amount was wired to him shortly after the vote ended his contract. The votes took place during the board's final meeting after a June recall election. The municipality says the action violated the terms of Celeray's contract and amounted to a personal gift. The latest court filings by the board members contest those claims. Eight hospital board members were recalled, but the suit only names the six who attended the meeting and voted for the severance package. The only member who wasn't recalled was at the meeting, but voted against both. Attorneys for the six could not be reached for immediate comment. The municipality's attorney declined comment. Meanwhile, 17 people have filed to replace the recalled members in an August 21st special election. And today in Sitka, expect it to be cloudy with areas of fog in the morning, highs around 62. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 53. And Thursday will be mostly cloudy with highs around 60. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.